Because although they do things that we can criticize, we still have to respect them because they're also very great personalities. But he was ranking on Indra so much, I knew we weren't going to get away with it. So. Now we got our reaction today. Because there's one story about how Indra became a pig, and I, every single time I've ever told that story, then somehow or other it's always rained. So I've learned that we have to be respectful of these fellas. So. So anyway, last week we were in the most wonderful place, Radhakund. Now, around Radhakund, there's many interesting places. One place I've never been, I've always wanted to go, but there's one fellow there named Madrasi Krishnadas, and in his little temple he has a picture, an incredible pastime, because the place is called Kunjara. Now if you know, in Sanskrit, Kunjara means elephant. So he has, I don't know anything about the pastime, but somehow or other, the picture speaks for itself. Somehow or other, all the gopis have combined together in the form of an elephant, and Krishna is riding on top. When you see one gopi is lying on her, you know, all the gopis are arranged, because you have to see the picture, but. You know, one is one foot, one is another foot, one is another foot, and somehow or other they're twisted around some way to make the body. Somebody's, I assume it's Radharani, because she's lying on her back like that, so her legs are down like the trunk, you know, and her face is back looking at Krishna. That's why I figured it must be Radharani, and Krishna's sitting there on top of this elephant. Somebody else is the back, somebody else is hanging up the back, so it's the tail of the elephant, like that. In this way, all the gopis have combined together to make a gunjar. Or elephant. It's very, very interesting. It's somewhere near Radhakund, I've never been. But there's another very, very important place just near Radhakund. And that is known as Suryakund. And Suryakund, one of the very few places where Radharani can meet with Krishna without any fear from her mother-in-law Jatila and her sister-in-law Kutila. Because what happened was Purnamasi told Mother Jatila that if Radharani would worship Surya, then her son, Jatila's son, Abhimanyu, would become very wealthy and healthy and wise. So Jatila has decided that Radharani must worship Surya. Because he's never very happy about all of these different arrangements that her mother-in-law makes. So she's, but anyway, Jatila and Kutila, they've gone out looking for some Brahmins to do the puja. So suddenly they saw two very nice brahmacharis. One is obviously the guru, another one was obviously the disciples, and they were with their padukas, you know, little wooden shoes with a little peg in the center, and carrying their books under their arms, like this. Very respectable brahmacharis and pandits. So Jatila asked, are you sons of Brahmins? And they said, yes. And so where do you come from? They said, we're from Mathura. Whose sons are you? We're the sons of Gargacharya. And so she was very satisfied and amazing. He said, then we're looking for some qualified Brahmins to do some puja for us. He said, so then you must have figured out who the guru is by now. The disciple is Madhu Mangal. So he says, well, you see, we are strict brahmacharis from birth, so we we can't get involved with women at all, so it's not in our interest at all, so we can't help you. He said, no, then you're even more qualified, because we don't want you to do the puja for ourselves, we want you to do the puja for our daughter-in-law. I said, no, we don't have anything to do with women, and anyway, we're very sattvic Brahmins, we don't worship any Devi and Devitas, we only worship Surya, the sun god. He said, but that's exactly who we want you to worship, that's what we want you to do this Surya puja. So, then the guru told, well, anyway, everything my disciple told is true, but I think we'll make exception in this case, since you're also worshipping Surya as for your daughter-in-law. So they told you, come there on Surya Temple, you come there on Sunday, and we'll be there. So anyway, they ran back to Java, they told Radharani, oh, we found the most wonderful pundits to do the puja for you, they're strict brahmacharis from birth, so this is very wonderful, We found the most wonderful Radharani. She doesn't want to go at all. But anyway, they're forcing her. You must go. You have to. It's for the benefit of your husband, Abhimanyu. You have to do this. So they're forcing her. They're dragging her along to Suryakund on Sunday. So when Radharani gets to Suryakund, and she sees who's the two priests, and she has to pull her sari over her face. She immediately recognizes who it is. So then they come in, and then the two brahmacharis, they begin to chant all these very, very interesting mantras. And Mother Jatila has never heard these mantras before. Now these mantras are composed in such a way that in one way it appears that Radharani is worshipping Surya. But if mantras are such a way that actually you can interpret it another way, she's actually worshipping Krishna by these mantras. So anyway, Madhu Mangala is chanting all these mantras and puja is going on. And so Radharani, she can understand the meaning of these mantras. So she's trying to hide her smile and she's worshipping very nicely like this. So then Mother Jatila, she's just so amazed. She said, oh, I have never heard such wonderful mantras. And Madhu Mangala explains this comes from some very secret scripture. These are very, very special mantras that only we know because we were specializing in the Surya Puja. So then Jatila and Kutila, they're very, very happy. So they said, all right, we must give some dakshina. And Guru said, no. Brahman should not be anxious for doing business. We don't want anything in return. We are simply happy to worship Lord Surya. He said, no. Without dakshina, then there's no question of any puja being complete. We have to give dakshina. And Madhu Mangala says, no. My guru can't accept anything, especially since, it's coming from women, so we don't want to have anything. No. I have to give some dakshina. This very wonderful necklace of Radharani, I want to give. He said, no, my guru never touches anything from women, so... No, we have to give dakshina. How the puja will be complete. So anyway, my guru will never touch. But on his behalf, I can find some good use for it, I think. And especially all those laddus. Because they brought so many laddus for Surya Puja, so he accepted all those laddus. He said this nice locket from Radharani, he wound them up in his dhoti. And then Mother Jatila said, and we want that our daughter-in-law will come here every Sunday. And because you are very strict brahmacharis, we have no worry, so we will send her alone every Sunday. So then it was agreed every Sunday that Radharani will come there to do Surya Puja alone. So this is one of the very few places in Braj she can meet without any worry of Jatila, Kutila, Abhimanyu or anyone. Because they know that she's there with these strict brahmacharis doing the Surya Puja. So then they leave Suryakund. It's very interesting because then Radharani, as she's leaving, she puts her two friends. She has the Sakis who have come with her. She has them walk behind her. So that way, on the pretext of turning her back to talk to them, she can keep seeing Krishna. like that. She keeps turning to talk to her friends, but actually she's looking back and seeing Krishna. And she goes home like that. So like that, so many places are there all around this Radhakund. Now, since we did a field trip and we went to Govardhan, so I'm not going to repeat all of those Govardhan stories, but there's many places we didn't go on Govardhan, so I'll touch on those places, if that's alright. Because I don't want to repeat whole Govardhan pastimes again. Because when Mahaprabhu left Radhakund, then it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, next place he went was Suman Sarovar. So that time, this what we now known as Kusum Sarovar was known as Sumana Sarovar. The same thing, Kusum or Suman, is the same thing, means flower. So it used to be very beautiful flower gardens in this place, at Kusum Sarovar. And Krishna, he would come there, and then the gopis, Krishna would also come there sometimes. The gopis would come there and pick flowers, because as we described, Radhakund is the midday yoga peak. So gopis will come first to Kusum Sarovar and pick flowers and make flower garlands in order to meet Krishna at Radhakund. So very beautiful flower garlands are there. So gopis will come and pick flowers. I think someone's trying to get in, so... So, in fact, one day, Radharani was picking flowers, and there was one flower that was just out of reach. Even she jumped a couple of times, ching, ching, all her ankle bells and bracelets are just ching, 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 it's just out of reach. So Krishna, he was watching from the forest nearby, and he saw this. So when she turned around and began picking other flowers, then he snuck and climbed up into that tree. Then he put his foot on the branch, you know, so the branch will go down. So Radharani is picking flowers, again she turns and she saw this flower has come low. It's very interesting. So it's just such a lovely flower. So anyway, so she went, again it's still just out of reach. Somehow she jumped and she caught the end of that branch with her left hand, and she reached up to pick that flower, and she pulled it down. Krishna, he lifted his foot off of that branch. So Radharani went flying up into the air, screamed and went flying up in the air. So now she's hanging in this tree up in the air. Now we can't imagine who turns up just to save her in this dire distress and pluck her down from this branch. So like that, this Kusum Sarovar also filled with so many wonderful pastimes. One time, just nearby, there's one place called Nardakund, just a little ways up and on the left side. Because one time Narad Muni came to Braj and he was offering so many beautiful prayers to Krishna. Krishna told him that, why don't you stay here and write some scriptures about bhakti. And he said, but Maharaj, I'm cursed. I can't stay anywhere more than a few minutes. He said, Narad, that's in the material world. This Braj is not part of the material world. You should not think that this Brajadam belongs to any particular country or any place in this material world. This Brajadam is completely non-different from that Golok. Just like in Brihad Bhagamatamrit, then that Gop Kumar, he tells, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I don't, you know, I just wander back and forth. Somehow there's no difference. Sometimes he's here, sometimes he's there, but he doesn't see any difference like we see. We're just seeing this dull my covering over the dham, but actually this dham doesn't belong to this material world. So Krishna told me, he said, this is, Raj is not part of the material world, so that curse has no effect here. That's only a material world. That was a curse given by Indra in the material world. So then Narad Muni, he stayed there at that Nardakund, And he wrote so many things like this Narada Bhakti Sutra that I think 2 or 3 years before BBTS published this, because Prabhupada had written some purports, and Satsuru Goswami, he finished it off, I think, isn't it? So many other books he wrote there. So one time he was talking with Brindadevi and Lalita and discussing how he had had darshan of Lord Krishna. He was so fortunate that he got darshan of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna had told him to stay there in that place. And the one time, and Rabba will tell that, we'll hear about that later, he got darshan of Radharani. So Lita shook her head. He said, no, you have never seen either of them. Narayana was a little shocked. He said, you have never gotten darshan of Radha and Krishna. You may have seen Krishna, you may have seen Radharani, but until you have seen Radharani tucked up into the under the left arm of Lord Krishna, then you have never seen Radha and Krishna. It's like Prabhupada warned us that don't buy this picture of Radharani without Krishna. But then one time one devotee was keeping one picture of Radharani in Prabhupada's desk. He said, no, you have, both must be there. So until you have seen that Radharani tucked into the left arm of, under the left arm of Sri Krishna, you have never seen gotten darshan. So how I can see? Because now as we heard, this Vasant season is coming, so that Rasleela goes on in Govardhan Hill. But only no male person can enter. So then Brindadevi took him into the southwest corner of Brindakun, and she dipped, not Brindakun, my mind is somewhere else. Southwest corner of that Kusum Sarovar, and he came out as Naradi. Very beautiful gopi named Naradi. But then she went down to the end of Govardhan Hill and saw that Vasanta Rasleela, she got darshan there. And then she saw Radha and Krishna together. That is the real darshan. Not separate. So then when she came back, then Brindadevi took her into the northeast corner of Kusum Sarovar, dunked her back in, and she came back. He came back out as Narad Muni. Like that. So this is also a very interesting pastime of Kusum Sarovar. Now in the corner of Kusum Sarovar there's one Uddhav Mandir. Because as we know, we hear that Vipra to console everyone in Braj. And he was so shocked that he prayed just to become grass and creeper in Braj, just that, because he realized, because he was thinking, he's very important, you know. Because in Dwarkapuri, Krishna, he doesn't even take any decision. First he must discuss with Uddhav. Like that. Everybody else, all the residents of Dwarka, they can see Krishna when he's walking through the streets or when he goes to his assembly house. But Uddhav, he can go directly into Krishna's palace and sit with him on the same bed, or same seat, rather. And they sit and discuss so many things, and Krishna, he doesn't take any decision in Dwarka. He's the king of Dwarka, but still, without consulting with Uddhava, he won't take any decision. So Uddhava was thinking, yes, I'm very special. Everybody else, they can see Krishna. I mean, the residents of Dwarka, they were even more elevated than Pandavas. Everyone thinks of Pandavas being very dear to Lord Krishna, but Pandavas, sometimes he visited, sometimes sometimes he went to Hastinapur. But he was living all the time in Dwarka. Like the resident Dwarka got to see him daily and associate with him daily, on a daily basis. And especially Uddhav. So he was thinking he was very special. But when he went to Braj, then he realized that just one tiny fraction of my Lord is present there in Mathura and in Dwarka. One tiny fraction of his real potency is there. He's actually fully manifest This is described in Nectar Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami, that when Krishna is in Dwarka, then he is Purna. Purna means full. That is the full Bhagavan. Full of all opulences. But when he's in Mathura, then he's Paripurna. He's not only... he's Purnatam. That is even more full. Now we can't understand how something could be perfect and more perfect, but Krishna is something that's understood by our intelligence. It's like Mahabharata says, achintya, whatever is achintya, you cannot apply your logic. So he's perfect, he's Purna, he's completely perfect in Dwarka. But in Mathura, he's Purnatam, he's more perfect even. So one thing is perfect, that is already the superlative, but still Krishna, he's beyond all of these things. And when he's in Braj, then he's Paripurnatam, he's most perfect. So Uddhava, he got this full realization, so he just, and he realized that nobody was better devotee than Radharani and all of these gopis, so he was just amazed. He wanted to stay in Braj, just as some grass or creeper, so that sometime if gopis are passing by, the dust will come on his head. He will get dust of gopis on his head. So he didn't want to stay on the straight path, but on the hither and thither path. Not on the straight path, the idra-udra path, the hither and thither path. Because when gopis are mad and Krishna praying, they're not going to run on the straight path, they just run hither and thither and hither and thither. So he wants to be creeper and grass just on the hither and thither path. So when gopis are mad and Krishna praying, sometimes their dust may come on top of his head. Like that. So he's living there all around Kusum Sarovar in the form of grass and creepers there. So one time, the queens of Dwarka, because not all of them were kidnapped. When Arjun brought some of the queens, we've heard about that, but some of the, only certain portion of them were kidnapped. Other portion actually made it to Hastinapur. But they had always wondered about this Braj Lila, because they always, Krishna, at night, he would speak in his sleep different things. They would hear him speaking about somebody named Radharani and all these things. They knew all these things were going. Something happened there in Braj, very special. So they're very anxious to know about this, and some other residents of Hastinapur, they were also anxious to know about this Braj Lila. So they were told, I can't remember exactly, maybe Narad Muni came, someone told them that you just go nearby that Kusum Sarovar and do Nam Sankirtan, and by that Nam Sankirtan, Uddhava will manifest himself because he's eternally residing there. So then all the queens and few residents of Hastinapur, they all came up to Kusum Sarovar, they did Nam Sankirtan, and sure enough, Uddhava appeared. And so Uddhava sat there and he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this Braj Lila, to all of the queens and residents of Hastinapur. So if you go to that temple, you see Uddhava sitting there with his Srimad Bhagavatam and he's speaking. This is one of the... Now it's very fashionable to do Bhagavat Sapta. But this is the first one. One of the first ones. Uddhava was speaking this Braj Lila there on the corner of Kusum Sarovar. So then after we leave Kusum Sarovar, we come a little ahead, there's one place called Gwal Pokhar. So you know Gwal? Who knows Gwal? I know you know. Gwal means cowherd boy. So, Gwal Pokhar. Pokhar means must have been some sort of kund there. Because in Bengal, just like here, everywhere you go, you'll see some hand pumpers there. But in Bengal, instead of having hand pumps, they just dig a hole in the ground. Because you just dig 6 or 7 feet and water comes. So they have pukur. But somehow in Braj Vasa, it comes out as pokhar. So we have Gwal Pokhara. So you remember, that our two brahmacharis were doing puja at Suryakund. So somehow after that Suryakund puja, then Krishna, he doubled back and headed towards Gwalpokar, where he left all the cowherd. He gave them some excuse that I had to go somewhere. So he left them to go do that puja. So meanwhile, here comes Madhu Mangal. As we remember, somehow, and as part of his payment for the puja, he got so many laddus. And he's got them all bound up in his dhoti. So here comes Madhu Mangal. And Balaram, he sees him from a distance, so he tells all the cowherd boys, "Hey, I wonder what Madhu's got inside his dhoti there." So he gets all the cowherd boys. So when Madhu comes, "Hey, Batuk." Krishna likes to call him Batuk. It's like we're seeing, what is that? What is that one verse? In Jaya Krishna? Huh? Baturaj, yeah, Batuka. So then the cowherd was, "Hey, Batuk. Hey, Madhu, what you got there inside your dhoti?" He said, "This is my Brahmin Dakshina." "Acha, what kind of Dakshina you got?" He said, "What is your business? This is I am a Brahmin, and I have gotten Brahmin Dakshina, and this is my Brahmin Dakshina." So meanwhile, while he's telling all this, one cowherd boy is crouched down on the ground behind Madhu Mangal. So one of the cowherd boy gives him a push, and he falls over backwards. And naturally, his dhoti flies open, all these laddus go flying all over the place, and all the cowherd boys are grabbing laddus, and Madhu Mangal's grabbing all the laddus, and he's cursing and he's crying, and they're just pulling him out of Mangal's dhoti, and he's trying to put them all back, and they're spinning him around, and he's just becoming furious and more furious, and all of a sudden, he also got something else as Brahmin Dakshina. This beautiful little necklace comes falling out of his dhoti. And the cowherd boys, they pick that up, and it's, "Oh, hey, Madhu, what kind of Brahmin Dakshina is this?" You know, and they can see, you know, whose initials are on this. Woo, woo, woo. Showing all the cowherd, "Look at this Brahmin Dakshina that Madhu's got." Now he's furious. He says, give me back my Dakshina. And he's just grabbing, and he's so angry. First, especially this Balaram, because he knows that Balaram is the one who instigated this whole thing. So he's got this Brahmin thread in his hand. He's going to curse Madhu Mangal. I mean, he's going to curse Lord Balaram like anything. So at that point, Krishna appears. He just doubled back through the woods, and he appears there, and he says, wait a minute, stop. He said, "Hold on, Madhu." He said, "What have you done? What are you guys doing? Don't you know this is a Brahmin? He's not a cowherd boy like you. He's not a gwal. You're taking Brahmin's property. You don't know what happened to..." What happens if you take Brahmin's property? So anyway, somehow or other, Krishna, he calmed them all down, all the cowherd boys, because he didn't want to see his brother Balaram get cursed by Madhu Mangal. But somehow or other, he got to hold of that necklace. He got all the letters given back to Madhu Mangal, but he got a hold of the necklace. So this is Gwalpokar. So the little ways up, just by the... And in fact, just near that Gwalpokar, I haven't been there for a long time, but somewhere you go into the woods, and there's a tiny little ashram there. One famous Baba used to stay there. I can't remember his name. But right near the entrance of that ashram, there's footprint of Krishna melted into the stone. Krishna was playing his flute, and the rocks melted, so you can see one flat foot and one, because he's, you know, standing with his legs crossed. So one just toe print is there, one footprint is there in the stone. And that I've never seen. That I've only seen in that stone in that Shila in Radha Damodar temple. So only I saw Krishna's footprint. I saw that, but only Krishna's footprint is there. So just near that Chungi. Chungi means that place, you know, where they have the stick with the big stones on the end of the rope, and they make a big fuss every time the bus comes. So just on opposite side from the hill, if you've ever noticed, there's a kund there. And that's called Hari Gokund and Hari Gokutir. Is that place, when they came to do the Govardhan Puja, then Nanda Maharaj, he made his camp there. And they kept all of the cows there. Because remember, for the Govardhan Puja, Krishna told them, you have to take all the cows and go on Govardhan Prikamas. So at that place, they were keeping all of the cows there in that place. Hari Gokutir. So that brings us up to Manasi Ganga. So we were already heard all of those pastimes. We went all the way up to Punchari. And on the way back from on the other side of the hill, then we come to that Sarabikund that we heard about also. It's a very sweet and quiet place. Just nearby is also Aravattakund, because the Aravatta was there. Then coming down, oh, one thing we missed it at Manasi Ganga. Very interesting. When we were sitting there on the steps, you saw there was one brand new temple there. We saw that big temple in the middle of Manasi Ganga. So inside that temple, there's two very wonderful shilas. One of them is known as Mukaravind, and the other one is known as Mukutmani. So Mukaravind, I think you can figure that one out. Mukha means mouth and Aravinda means lotus. This is the lotus mouth of Giriraj. Now what's his lotus mouth doing in the middle? That seems like that's the middle of Govardhan Hill. Because we know that Puchari, we saw that was the tail. So that time we heard he's shaped like peacock. Now sometimes peacock, he bends his head around and keeps it under his belly. This is one classic pose of the peacock, like that. So his mouth is there in the middle instead of way down at the end where it should be. So all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas anyway, we accept all of our acharyas. They've told us that this is the place of the mouth of Govardhan, where we can make our offerings. And sometimes in Govardhan Puja, they have huge offerings there. And all that, every day, Abhishek is going on. Because there's so many shops, just as you're coming into that temple, you'll see so many little shops there selling different sized pots of milk. And sometimes I see people coming there, they just bring a whole bucket with them, and they just buy milk at the shop, and they fill up their whole bucket, and they come in, two or three buckets sometimes I see, just pouring milk and pouring milk. So almost daily, all day long, this Abhishek is going on there at that Mukaravind. And just in front, there's one stone. You can see Krishna's, it's got a beautiful design of Krishna's peacock feather in that stone. So that is called Mukutmani, because that is Mukut means his crown. So this is a very special place. If you go to Govardhan, you can buy some milk, or you can bring some sweets and offer them there. This is the lotus mouth of Govardhan. Of course, he can have mouth anywhere, because he's non-different from Krishna. And we're singing every day, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya, that any one of his senses can do the job of any sense. So Govardhan can have his mouth anywhere and anywhere. And other sampradayas, they accept Jatipura as the lotus mouth of Govardhan. But as far as our Gaudiya Sampradaya is concerned, this is that place on Manasi Ganga, the Mukaravind of Govardhan. Now, that temple was that side. Now, opposite, directly on the opposite side from where we were, that place is known as Chakratirth, and one of the very famous Shivaling of Braj, just like we were telling, there's these five very special Mahadevs. Here we have Gopeshwar and Mathura Bhuteshwar and Kamvan Kameshwar, Nandagram Nandeshwar, and in Govardhan is Chakleshwar. So that place is known as Chakratirth because that time when Krishna lifted up that Govardhan hill, then also his chakra came. And he was spinning and keeping all the water. Because Indra was very shocked when he came back and he had sent this Sampartika cloud that should have been able to destroy the whole universe, but to speak of one tiny little brudge. And he came back and everything just appeared normal. There was no water sitting anywhere. Everything was just completely normal because that Krishna's chakra was spinning there on top of the hill, keeping all the water away. And that chakra came and rested at that place, so that became known as Chakratirth. And one Mahadev is there, Chakleswar Mahadev. And also we'll find Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir there, at that place. So that Chakratirth is there. So anyway, going back to, after I reminded, because then we're coming to Jatipur, and in Balava Sampradaya they accept this Jatipur as the Mukharabind of Govardhan. But anyway, Govardhan, Angani, Asya, Sakalendriya, he can have his head and mouth and hand in any direction. But Yati is another name for Sannyasi. So that Yatipur got its name since that Madhavendra Puri was staying there. Because he was a wandering Yati. He was just wandering here and there. So he sat there. We were at Govindakund. He sat there on the side of Govindakund. And it's like Govindakund and Yatipur. They're on opposite sides of the hill. And he established that Gopal Didi on top of the hill. So he was living there in Yatipur. Well, he's living there on the side of the hill. So that place became known as Yatipur, the village of the Yati. So then as we come back down around, we come back again to Govardhan, just near that Chakratirth. Is there anything special that's there? Maharaj told the story of Dangati, yeah? So... So... Did he tell the story of Dhani Vartan Kund?
No.
Alright.
Only short.
Only short. Anyway, on this backside of Govardhan, there's not so many, at least that I know. Braj is filled with so many millions of pastimes every time I'm finding out something new. But anyway, after we pass Yatipur, then we come back, we come into the town of Govardhan, and we come to a place where it's very narrow. And the hill comes down. So when the hill is coming down, that we call any place that is where there's incline, just like when we go to take our bath in Jamuna, then we go on the ghat, because that is going down. So that is known as Dhan Ghati, because that place is very low. A little valley is there, like a... In fact, I think Gati also means valley. Anybody knows Hindi? Gati means valley? So this is a little valley on the Govardhan Hill where this Dhan Leela took place. So gopis are coming with all of their butter and milk and yogurt and so many things. So Krishna, he stopped them there. And said, wait a minute, if you want to pass, then you have to pay tax. We don't have to pay tax? Why do we have to pay any tax? He says, because this Vrindavan belongs to me. And he says, since when it became yours? As far as we know, this Vrindavan belongs to Vrindadevi. And Krishna said, yes, well, Vrindadevi is my wife. So whatever belongs to the wife automatically belongs to husband. So this Vrindavan belongs to me. Therefore, if you want to pass through here, then you have to pay me tax. And he said, Acha, you're Vrindadevi's husband? He said, yes, of course. You call her? So the gopis, they all went to Vrindadevi and they brought her back. And they asked Vrindadevi said, this black fellow? I have nothing to do with this black fellow. I have nothing to do with this black fellow. I never think of marrying him. And anyway, I have already surrendered this forest at the lotus feet of Radharani. So all the gopis, they began to cheer, and Krishna was shocked. Many pastimes took place. I don't know what Maharaj told, but this day the gopis got through free because Krishna got shocked when Vrindadevi said, "I don't have anything to do with it. I don't know what this black fellow is. I have nothing to do with him." Krishna got shocked and they all ran through. Because later in the Mukta Charita Lila, then Madhu Mangal warns him and says, "Look out, last time on Govardhan you got shocked, so you better be careful when dealing with these gopis." I know, that's what I'm saying. So these pastimes were going on daily, so it doesn't always happen daily the same way. So this day they got through free. It's raining outside, so they got through free today. So then as we come down the end of Govardhan Hill, we come to Udhavkund, that is right on the back side of Kusum Sarovar, because that Udhav temple is there on one side of Govardhan Hill, and opposite side we have Udhavkund. And then we come back into Radhakund. And just before we enter Radhakund, there's a very unkempt kunda there. In fact, you probably won't even think it's a kund, it's just some puddle that doesn't seem to dry up. But anyway, that's actually a kund. And it's called Shiva Kor. Again, this Kor is, again, Pukor or Pokara. Somehow they just drop the pa and it becomes Kor. So this is called Shiva Kor. Not to be confused with Shiva, who's our Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. This is Shiva. And Shiva, with a very long I, refers to jackal. So there was one jackal, she lived just nearby that Radhakund. And jackals are not very respectable animals, so people don't like them too much. So all the children came and they began to throw rocks and sticks at that jackal, and so she ran inside a hole. So then these children, because children are mischievous, they put so many sticks in front of that hole and they set it on fire and they all ran away, and that poor jackal was there crying and crying like that. So somehow or other Radharani, she heard this crying of the jackal, and she came there and she saw this jackal in such a horrible condition, and she was so shocked that anybody in her Radhakund would suffer so much like that. So Radharani, she, just like we were hearing this morning, I think, was he talking about saying? Yeah, he was talking about that compassion. And Mahaprabhu, he's so compassionate. Because why? Because Krishna has taken on the mood of Radharani. So she's the compassionate side of Krishna. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also compassion personified. And our Raghunath Das Goswami, he writes that Deha Karuna Bidravat, that ordinary persons, their hearts melt in compassion. But he says, Deha Karuna Bidravat, that Radharani's whole body melts in compassion. Ordinary persons, their heart melts, but Radharani, she's very special. Whole body melts with compassion. Therefore we can understand, because Prabhupada's father always used to pray that please bless my son and he'll become a very nice devotee of Radharani. Therefore that Prabhupada is that compassion of Srimati Radharani. Therefore we're hearing this wonderful class this morning about this book distribution, which is nothing but Radharani's compassion. So Radharani was so compassionate. She heard this crying of this jackal and she went there and she saw somebody was suffering so much in her Radhakund. She couldn't believe it. So immediately she blessed that jackal and she took on a form of a gopi. So even low class, most degraded animal, nobody likes jackal. It's just like, you think jackal, ooh, horrible creature. But even this most low down horrible creature got Radharani's mercy. Even this most low down creature got Radharani's mercy and became gopi. Therefore you'll see the practice in Radhakund. when anybody dies, the first they take the body to the side of Shivapur. That's where it's burned, because if even the jackal can get Radharani's mercy, then that is definitely the place to get Radharani's mercy. That kunda is called Shivapur, because even the Shiv, even the jackal got Radharani's mercy. So that is Shivapur. So then we come in, the Malihari Kund, as we come to the Kunjavihari Gaudiya Math, the Malihari Kund is off to the left a little bit, and then we're back at Radha Kund. Now, we missed one place, just on the side of Kusum Sarovar, somewhere back. Somewhere near that lotus foot, maybe that place where that lotus foot, I never understood exactly. I know this place is there. And I've heard it mentioned so many times that I've never understood exactly where it was. But I think it's where that lotus footprint was. There's a place called Ratna Singhasan, where Krishna and Balaram were both in the dead of night, they were enjoying with all the cowherd girls of Braj. And then they were sitting on this wonderful singhasan, when all of a sudden, some rascal came. What was that? Shankar Chuda. He came there and began to disturb the wonderful atmosphere. And somehow or other he was driving all of the... He was making horrible sounds and scaring all the girls away. So then they became very upset. So then Krishna, he left Balaram to watch over all the gopis, and he chased that Shankarchuda. And then this is actually on the corner of, when you're coming around Radhakun, you go past the Gop Kuwa. And just before you get to Mahaprabhu's sitting place, there's a little place on the corner. You go at that corner, that is the place. Krishna chased him down to that place, just behind Radhakund there, and smash that Shankarchuda in that place. So that place is just there also. But somehow I didn't bring my book with me today. Somebody has the book about the demons. Who is Shankarchuda? Yes, here it is. Sankashura. The Shankarchuda, Shankarchuda, same thing. So he was known as Shankasura because he had very beautiful conch shell jewel on his head. So Krishna, he took that jewel, and what did he do? He presented that valuable jewel to his elder brother Balaram. So Bhaktivinoda, he explains, this demon, since we're trying to get rid of all of these anarthas, this demon represents the desire for name and fame and the association of opposite sex. So this is that heavy anartha. What is that? Love, puja, and pratista. Love, puja, and pratista. This profit, adoration, and distinction. So that Krishna, he smashes that anartha with this pastime. And this is one of the, that Viswanath Chakravarti has described in his Madhurya Kadambini, that is the last stage of our anisthita bhakti. Before we get to the stage of nista, then we have to pass this one called charangarangini. Those who've read Madhurya Kadambini, you've heard this charangarangini. So tarang, just like it sounds. Tarang means waves. Tarang. So rangini means to enjoy. So one who simply enjoying in the waves, he's charangarangini. Meaning is that this bhakti is a very, very deep ocean. And on top, some little waves are there. Because many things, our Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that as soon as one becomes filled with devotion, then he becomes very attractive. It's like our Krishna is all attractive, so anyone who becomes devotee of Krishna, he also becomes very attractive. Viswanath Chakravarti says, as soon as somebody becomes attractive to the public, then naturally the public gives him so much wealth and so much respect and so many facilities. So one who becomes absorbed in all of these facilities, which are just like little waves, these are just little waves. Bhakti produces so many things. So these are little waves on the surface of that great ocean of bhakti. So one who just becomes captivated by all these little waves on the surface of bhakti, he's charangarangani. We want to dive deep. As long as we're thinking that we're great, we're up on the top. But we want to dive deep down to those lotus feet of spiritual master. Those feet are down. So as soon as we're up, then we're missing the lotus feet. We're just in the waves. So we want to go deep, the deep part of the ocean of bhakti, that is down portion. So we always have to keep our head down on lotus feet of our spiritual master. And then we can stay deep in that ocean of bhakti. But as soon as we become puffed up and think, yes, I'm very special, I'm very great, then immediately we come up to the waves and just missing the real nectar of the ocean of bhakti. So any questions? So if the, I assume this is just a temporary rain, so again we'll try to have our class underneath that beautiful banyan tree across the street from Bhaktivedanta Swami Memorial Park. Sri Vrindavan Namaki.